Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Great to have you in Hail Varsity Radio. We are doing the Friday patio edition today. Jeremiah Searles, our favorite Buffalo Bill, is in. We'll hear how Nebraska walked off Iowa here in just a moment. Colton Stone back at our ESPN studios. And, of course, Elijah still taking notes feverishly. Great to have you in as we get you ready for the holiday weekend. Hail Varsity, excited to be a part of your Friday. 466-3776, 466-3776, 1-800-825-5865. Numbers to get in. Can email Chris at HailVarsity.com. And as always, can find us on Twitter at HailVarsity, at Schmidt underscore radio. And follow Colton on Twitter at TwoBirdsOneStone. And yes, Mr. Jeremiah Searles is in. Find him, follow him on Twitter at Searles71 underscore HSKR. Here's how it sounded at TD Ameritrade Park not long ago, with Nebraska blasting Iowa as part of their 2019 revenge tour.
Third will end the ball game. And Cam Chick skies this one to center field. Jenkins going back. He will make the catch. Haggy tags at third. He will score, and Nebraska wins it 11-1.
That is
the run
always
rule is in effect, and the Huskers get the 11-1 run rule win over the Iowa Hawkeyes.
The outstanding and amazing Kevin Kugler on the call with the Big Ten Network. Okay, not only do you beat Iowa,
which is always great,
you pummel Iowa 11-1, but you run rule Iowa because of last night's rain and Mother Nature tantrum. So you had to play today. This game took forever. The second inning was 45 to 50 minutes. It looked like Nebraska was going to teeter a bit. They were down 1-0. Nate Fisher had the bases loaded, struggled a little bit early with his control. And this game was a walk fest. Iowa walked 9 Nebraska batters. I witnessed this every weekend, not necessarily from my kid or his youth baseball team. But when you get to college, you're not supposed to freaking walk people. And Nebraska was great. They were aggressive at the plate, but they were also very selective at the plate. The zone, the strike zone wasn't wide open, but they weren't strikes, and Iowa was missing, and Nebraska took advantage. So the Huskers 2-0 in Omaha in the Big Ten baseball tournament. Elimination game tonight for Minnesota and Iowa. And Minnesota took 2 out of 3 from Nebraska. Nebraska won convincingly last night, 8-2, to start things off, 8-2. They get Iowa today, 11-1. And Searles, are we going to get a live tweet from you? You are friends with two Hawkeyes. Mm-hmm. George Kittle's an incredible tight end playing for San Francisco. Buckner's an offensive tackle, you know,
yep.
Correct?
Yeah, Ike Buckner out there. He's my roommate, actually, up in Buffalo right now.
Okay.
We live together up there. And, every time something good or bad happens for either school, we always tweet at the other one, and we hit them with the other person. So anytime something bad happens in Nebraska or we get beat or anything, they'll just tag me in the tweet and just say, "Go Big Red." And so anytime something bad happens for the Hawkeyes, I just tag them in the tweet and just say, "Go Hawks." So absolutely, we'll be sending a tweet out to them, letting them know that their prize school got nice and run ruled today. And nothing makes me happier than watching Iowa get beat.
See, and you know what? You've got a close race, man, because you've been to all the venues.
Yep.
Playing in the Big Ten, and you know what Wisconsin fan is like. You know what Iowa fans like, and I've been to Iowa City, but I've not been to a game in Iowa City. So the only guy I know is Iowa Russ, and he's top shelf. He's awesome,
mm-hmm.
Right? So that's my sample size. Wisconsin fan, Wisconsin Ed, Easy Ed, a guy that used to live next door to me, He's from Madison.
Great place, man. That place was incredible. As much as I got pummeled at that place, unreal atmosphere.
Sure. And then there's Northwestern, Minnesota, Purdue, right? I mean, you have the West is what I'm talking about. Yep. The Buckeyes are the Buckeyes. Michigan's Michigan.
Yep.
So it's interesting. Penn State's Penn State.
Yep. But, old Happy Valley.
Right. Unhappy Valley's
Unhappy Valley.
I'll always deem it. But I look at it's always fun to get Iowa. Now it's time to get Iowa in football.
Right. Because all Iowa's talking like, dude, what do you mean I beat you guys? Three out of the 2 years we played you guys, they all look at me like, we weren't even there for that. And I'm like, yeah, I'm getting old. And they, all they say is just like, well, we beat the Huskers like every single time we played them. I was like, that doesn't count. I wasn't there. And they're like, well, we were there, talking about George and Ike. And they call us Little Red, which drives me insane.
Wow.
Oh, I know. We have to. And I will just scream it from the mountaintops when we beat them and just continually beat them. And they go back to their 7-5 average and just extend Kirk Ferentz for another 25 years so they can just be average again for the next 25 years. But we have to start getting them in football. We have to. There's no way around it. I cannot stand Iowa.
They are the team that kind of does it right when it comes to finding guys that are unheralded. And I think of a Josie Jewell.
Yep.
Kittle.
I play Fortnite a lot with him.
Yeah. Okay.
Josie Jewell.
So Josie Jewell for Denver.
I like Josie a lot.
You have, of course, George Kittle, who's phenomenal, but he was a fourth or fifth round guy. Of course, Fant and Hawkinson are beasts.
Yeah, King out there in San Diego is an all pro.
Yeah. I mean, they just do it right when it comes to the finding kids and developing them. Mm-hmm. So Nebraska needs – and they've been doing that under Coach Frost and Coach Duvall. I mean, they're going to get back to it. Back to baseball for a minute. You had Fisher able to throw strikes in 70 of his 103 pitches, went seven innings. And once he got out of the second, that bases loaded jam, it really turned into the game of opportunity. Iowa had an opportunity to bust it open early when they were up 1-0 with the bases loaded. They didn't. Nebraska able to tie things up and then get four more runs across in the second. And the rest is history. 15 hits for Nebraska. And you had Cam Chick with four RBI, Gunnar Hellstrom, two RBI, Spencer Schwellenbach crushed one out of TD Ameritrade. Polinski's been money. Altavilla's been hot. Alex Henwood, three hits, was 3-for-3 at one point. And then Mojo Hagi didn't have the RBI, but got three hits, walked twice, did well with the leadoff spot. Nebraska's leadoff hitters 0-for-6 against Minnesota. The top of the order really came through today. So the point of this is Nebraska is getting to watch baseball tonight, rest up, and it is kegs and eggs tomorrow for Nebraska at 9 a.m. at TD Ameritrade Park, either against Minnesota or dare I say Iowa for a second time. In Nebraska, to get eliminated, has to get beat twice by whoever comes out of the loser's bracket tonight. Reese Eden's going to start. And Nebraska has just been playing great baseball. They've won 6 of 8, 2 out of 3 against Arizona State, 2 out of 3 against Michigan. And it is fantastic. 466-377-6800-825-5865. Searles, it is awesome, man. Got the text from you today, and you were like, let's do some radio, brother. I sent you a text, and I'm like, okay, let's go do a show. But the studio's great, and I love Colton. I love Elijah, but it is too gorgeous out.
Oh, my gosh.
This was kind of like, a Real Red Reaction Show headquarters during the fall when it was nice. We've had maybe 3 or 4 nice days in May. So I checked with the bunny. She's kind of peeking out the window, snarling at me. The dogs are locked up. The kid's mowing over at Grandpa's. So I'm like, let's just do the show out back, Casa de Schmidt.
Absolutely, dude. Like I said, I'm up in Buffalo right now for OTAs, and we haven't seen the sun in months. I mean, if it rains a little bit, it's a nice day. Like, if it's like, oh, it's a drizzle today, oh, I'll take that. Because we still have to practice inside in the month of May because the weather's so bad outside, and it's unbelievable. We had the first day of sun for our third OTA the other day, and I got sunburned. And I was like, what is going on? Like, this is awesome. Being able to be outside, clear blue sky, little bit of just sunshine does the soul some good, man. And, yeah, I got in town this morning, and I was like, or last night, I was like, man, I got to see what Schmitty's up to. Come back, see the do the show again. I mean, we have so much fun doing this together. It's a blast, and it's just something that I really, really enjoy. So, again, I appreciate you having me on to hang out with you guys.
No, it's awesome, man. We love having you. Seth and the gang, Lazari's. Hooked up some pizza pie.
Absolutely. I went and hung out with them for about an hour this afternoon down there at the South Point.
They're good dudes,
oh,
man.
Oh, yeah. They're great, man. And, again, they're going to actually they're going to sponsor the food for Tyson's Treasure Chest again this year, which is amazing. They did that for us for the first time last year, and they said that they're going to go ahead and do that again and donate all the food for Tyson's Treasure Chest golf tournament July 20th this year, which is just so incredibly generous of them. And they're a Lincoln business supporting a homegrown Lincoln company or Lincoln Charity Foundation, which is just really, really cool of them.
Well, and Tyson's Treasure Chest golf outing is going to be the 20th of July. Woodland Hills is where it's going to be. I am working on getting back from Big Ten Media Days Friday night.
Okay.
My plan is to do the show. I'm going to drag Kranach down to a golf course where he's scared of golf. I love him dearly. And we'll do that, hopefully. Everything works out 7 to 9 a.m. Before the tee-off for Tyson's Treasure Chest. Year six. Year six for you, giving back, fighting pediatric cancer. I love it. We'll get more into that in a minute. So we're here on a Friday getting you into the holiday weekend. Hail Varsity Radio on the road. Nebraska is 2-0 in postseason play. That's the talking point was what's Nebraska do next here? What does Coach Erstad and company do with the momentum they seized against Arizona State? They carried through with Michigan, and can you win in Omaha? And they were so bitter about not getting and being a part of the Big Ten tournament last year. They didn't qualify. They got in as a 5 seed. They were as good as a 2 seed, but with tiebreakers and whatnot. Well, they're 2-0 against teams that that edged them out in season series. And you heard this a lot as a player at Nebraska. When things aren't always going swimmingly, you hear the vocal minority gripe about someone winning at a high level in Nebraska's. And Coach Erstad, 8 years, the guy's fantastic. And now people are very silent with that. I smile about that because I think Nebraska's playing great baseball. They're not necessarily the most talented team, but they are fighters, and he has said that 150 times this season. So I'm anxious to see them continue to carry it through and see if they can't just win this whole bleeping thing in major league fashion.
Yeah, I mean, you hear it all the time of you got to win at a high level in order to have like be known as a successful team or known as a successful coach. I mean, I think back to when I was here in Nebraska, we won 9 or 10 games every year, but we never won the big one. I mean, we never went and we won that conference championship and like put that staple season together. And if they can go and do that, again, every single thing that's been negatively said about Erstad or these kids or this program will literally just go away. It's just dead. It's completely dead because they did it. They did exactly what everyone griped about. They did exactly what everyone. And I'll say this, I will take a fighting team over the most talented team any day of the week, man, because there's just something about a team that comes together through adversity, like through these teams that, like you said, edged them out during the season, but now they're just like, you know what, not happening again. We're coming right back at, we're staring these guys in the teeth, and we're just coming right back for them. And I'll take that team against anyone else any day of the week. I mean, you can look at teams across the board. Talent doesn't win. Like, talent helps, but you got to have a team. It's a complete team thing in order to win these games.
We'll spend some time talking Nebraska football. I am anxious to talk offensive line with Jeremiah Searles. I'm anxious to talk Buffalo Bills with Jeremiah Searles. I can't wait to get thoughts on Ndamukong Suh, teamed up with his buddy Levante David in Tampa. Parker Gabriel is going to join us, Lincoln Journal Star, in about 5 minutes. Parker did a great story this week and he caught up with Matt Farniok. So we'll spend some time with Parker coming up. Bill Dolman, the Pride of Fairbury, and NBC Sports. Bill is doing baseball play-by-play for the Big 12 baseball tournament. He has a game at 7 tonight. We will steal Dolman away for a little bit in the 5 o'clock hour. It isn't a Friday without some recruiting recon and Greg Smith. Nebraska's going after some JUCO offensive tackles. They've got some 2021 kids coming in to officially visit. Nebraska's got a stock pile of official visits to round out their 2020 class, and then the Pride of Chicago, Danny Burke, I don't know if he's locked up in Musburger's den out in Vegas or what, but Danny Burke, the Pride of Chicago, will give you Burke's best bets for this weekend around 5:40. He can give us some feedback, give us a shout-out, and chime in on Nebraska baseball. Does Nebraska finish this thing outright? They're 2-0. Do they find their way to Sunday and win the whole thing? You can email Chris at HaleVarsity.com and also tweet at us at HaleVarsity at Schmidt underscore radio at Searles 71 underscore HSKR. Searles, you're also busy, my man. We don't have a ton of time yet this segment. We'll get back into it, but you're doing a lot of work for a video game company and a streaming company that not only allows you to interact with your NFL brethren, but also fans get to be involved with this.
Yeah, so it's this company, Wombo Sports. It's an esports gaming company, and the whole premise and idea behind the company really is to interact fans with professional athletes in a completely different form than ever before. So Twitch is a live streaming platform. I have my own channel. I get on there. I can play whatever video game I want. You have a Twitch account. You come in. You can live chat with me, live talk with me. I team up with all of my other buddies. I mean, we had a Viking squad the other night, myself, Harrison Smith, Anthony Barr, David Morgan. And we were on there, and we were just laughing the entire time because it's essentially like a locker room type talk. Like, it's a locker room type joking around with each other, giving each other crap, and then you're able to just kind of keep involved in that, which is really a cool process.
More on Twitch with Searles. Great to have you on a Friday as we get you into the holiday weekend. Patio Show Friday as we're out back. Parker Gabriel coming up, Lincoln Journal Star with us here on Hail Varsity Radio.
He's in his 30s. But sounds like he was born with a stogie in one hand and a brew in the other.
Now, say my name.
It's Schmitty on Hail Varsity Radio.
I got the body of a taut preteen Swedish boy.
Back with you, it's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Jeremiah Searles, Colton Stone. As we are out back, Casa de Schmidt, a little patio show on a Friday to get you into the holiday weekend. Sunshine, and it is gorgeous outside. We say hi to a tremendous writer with the Journal Star. Parker Gabriel is with us. Parker, thanks for a few minutes, man. How are you?
I'm doing well. You got the Senator in the house today?
We do, man. We've got the remote equipment out here. It's all plugged in. Sunshine, but we're out of the sun. Searles is hanging out. Yeah, man, we're just getting ready for a big weekend. I want to start with baseball before we get into your sit down with Farniok. What were your expectations, Parker, for Nebraska baseball heading into this weekend in Omaha?
Yeah, I guess I don't know. I didn't have huge expectations, but I just, it's not because I was down on the group necessarily. I just didn't quite know what to expect. I mean, it's a group that over the last couple weeks has played well and found a way to gut out some important wins, you know, Arizona State, Michigan, obviously the last series of the regular season. And also, you know, they got great pitching from the seniors in the rotation, but it wasn't, for the most part, you know, you weren't talking about really prolific offense. And so you just figured that they were going to play competitive games and close games in Omaha. And then they, you know, even without a lot of offensive thump on Wednesday, they get 8 runs on the board and coast there, and then really sort of, you know, bust out obviously today against Iowa. So obviously they're off to a great start. It's a group that, you know how it goes with baseball, especially in a postseason setting. You know, if you feel good and you've got pitching, you've got a chance, and they're showing that obviously through 2 games at the Big Ten tournament.
That they are, and Parker Gabriel's with us, Lincoln Journal Star, Hail Varsity Radio. The consistency part's always what makes you like hesitate on baseball in general, but necessarily this Nebraska baseball team. And what a tale a 2 half innings in the second, right, where Iowa gets a run but leaves the bases full. Nebraska is able to not just tie it, but get 4 runs, and then Fisher found his control. And with Nebraska's depth and more so rest, they have not had to tax the bullpen. That advantage is big time. of the teams left, you got Minnesota and Iowa. They'll duke it out tonight to see who gets to take on Nebraska again. But from a standpoint of matchups, do you feel good for Nebraska moving forward based on who's left in this tournament?
Yeah, sure. And I think especially, I mean, you know, you never, unless you're the number one seed, you never mind when the number one seed makes an early exit like Indiana did. I mean, it's such a wide open tournament. But I just think that the winner's bracket and having two wins under your belt makes such a huge difference. And especially, you know, think about tomorrow. You know, let's say they have to play, they lose tomorrow and they have to play a second game with either one of those teams. Well, that still puts them in great shape because, you know, they've played one fewer game than either Iowa or Minnesota will have at that point. And so I just think, it's like you said, I mean, it can be, even in a game that's lopsided, it can be such a fine line. You know, if Nate Fisher doesn't make some really big pitches to get out of that second inning and get back in a groove, you know, you're talking about potentially a completely different game if he goes three or four innings rather than what he pitched seven. And so that's, I mean, it's huge. It's huge when you have to make big pitches, and Nebraska's two sort of frontline seniors have done that so far. And now we'll see if some of the other guys can keep it rolling here as they hit the weekend.
Parker, we'll get to football, and thanks for spending a few minutes on Husker baseball. Okay. Dedrick Mills is in. That news came down officially Wednesday. Tuesday, you felt good about it. He was admitted Wednesday. And we all know that Nebraska needs to and wants to run the football as well or better than they did last year. What are your thoughts on Mills as far as a number? What's a number he needs to hit this year? And overall, if it's by committee, What's a rushing number that will bode well for Nebraska in 2019?
Yeah, honestly, I think the most important number for Dedrick Mills, or the way that you'll know that Dedrick Mills has had the influence that Nebraska obviously hopes he does, is 12, right? I mean, if he plays, if he's available and he plays the whole year and he stays healthy, which, I mean, you know, he broke his collarbone when he first got to junior college. That's not, you know, that happens sometimes. But if he's available and he's at Nebraska's disposal all of this fall, I think that you're going to see the production, you know, come along with it. It might be by committee. You might see, I mean, I think Bryce Washington in particular, but assuming he's available, but Dedrick Mills also, you know, both those guys have the ability to catch a ball in the backfield a little bit. They have a bunch of other guys that can do that with Wandale Robinson, Miles Jones, those types. And so, I don't know. I won't put a yardage on him just yet that he needs to get, but I think it's a huge addition. You know, if you want to talk about the running game in general, I mean, they averaged 5 yards a carry and had 25 rushing touchdowns last year. So I think that the offensive line certainly would tell you that should be the floor, you know. And those are pretty good marks. 5 yards a carry was number 16 in the country last year, and so you're talking about a pretty potent rushing attack if they're that good or better this fall.
Right, like you said, last year the rushing game I thought was actually pretty good last year, but they lose a lot of pieces up front for that offensive line last year that they're going to need to replace. And like you said, there's a lot of talent in that backfield, but I'll be the first one to tell you that as long as those five guys up front don't do what they need to do, it doesn't matter what those guys do back there. So what have you seen with these guys and the spring practice coming out? Like, what's your thoughts on this new revamped Husker offensive line that's going to take them into this 2019 season so that those guys can hit those numbers that we're talking about?
Well, I got to say, I think the good listener should be much more interested in your thoughts about the offensive line. But I think, you know, they have the three returning starters. They've got the three returning starters and the tackles and Bo Wilson at right guard pretty firmly entrenched. I think that we've gotten to the point in terms of program building that it's okay to put expectations on these guys, right? I mean, there's certainly a lot of expectations on Adrian Martinez and J.D. Spielman, and guys like Matt Forniok and Brendan Hymas have played a lot of football now. And if you have a pair of tackles that are each going into what is essentially their third year of starting this year, I think you can say that you'd like to see them establish themselves as one of the better, or, you know, one of the best tackle pairs in the conference. And you've got Bo Wilson at right guard, and then Trent Hickson, to me, based on what the coaches have said, it's going to be hard. It's not impossible. It's going to be hard to unseat him, I think, from that left guard spot. Center's the big question mark. It has been huge all along. Tanner Farmer really settled that position down when he took over there last year. And, you know, you don't need necessarily All-American performance from there. That'd be great, obviously. But whoever wins that job, whether it's Cameron Juergens or Will Farniak or someone else, it's a crucial spot communication-wise and obviously literally snapping the ball. And I think that group, they certainly have high expectations for themselves. And even though they're losing a couple of seniors who played a lot of football, I can see why they think they can be better in 2019 than they were in 2018.
Parker Gabriel's with us, Hail Varsity Radio, Lincoln Journal star, at Husker Extra PGs, where you follow him on Twitter. You had a great story earlier this week with Matt Farniak, and I like how he kind of laid it out to you about how the wheels would come off, and then things kind of stabilized, and they were proud of how they fought. They were close in some big-time games, but, you know, extra step versus not quite there, and that isn't going to be acceptable this year. What did you take away from Farniak with his confidence level and how things have gone as they head into the summer?
I think one of the things that struck me was, you know, you're talking about, you know, mid-May, and so you're a long ways removed from the end of football season, and frankly, given the way Nebraska finished the season, I think a lot of people, you know, it's been such a positive thought process largely this offseason, and there's a lot of promise and all of that. But it was interesting that he went right back to the first half of last year and what they learned. It's clear that they haven't forgotten, you know, sort of what happened and the, of course, the progress that they made, but also why the season started the way it did. And, you know, I think you look at the game against Northwestern, that's a game that a lot of Nebraska fans and certainly the players and coaches thought they should have won, could have won, had won. And they get one first down there on either one of two possessions in the fourth quarter, and you never put Tanner Farmer in the position to make a bad snap in overtime. You never put Carlos Davis in a position to have that roughing the passer penalty that started that 99-yard drive. So I think that's a big – even though they're looking to make major progress, I think a lot of that progress comes in small, detailed areas. And Matt Farniak certainly is one of the leaders of that group here going forward.
Parker, last thought with Nebraska this weekend in recruiting. What's kind of on the radar for them? Sounds like they have quite a few officials still in their back pocket.
Yeah, they got some officials to use before August rolls around for sure. I think you're going to see the biggest recruiting weekend of the summer will probably be the last one before the dead period hits in late June. So that's like June 21st. I think they're setting up a big weekend that weekend. They got a couple of interesting guys. They got a group of guys from Iowa Western that's coming down the road just for unofficial visits this weekend. An offensive lineman and a defensive lineman that both have offers. And obviously I think that it seems like it should be a natural connection, right, between Scott Strohmeyer's program just across the river and Nebraska. And it hasn't been in the past. But you know, they would love to add either one of those guys, Perrion Winfrey, defensive lineman, or I'm blanking on his name. They got a big offensive lineman over there too. And so that's sort of the immediate. And then before you know it, here in a couple weeks, it'll be camp season beginning. You'll have a lot of high school kids through Lincoln over the course of the month of June, and I think, you know, you'll start to see the class come together a little bit more over the next 6 weeks or so.
Parker Gabriel, Lincoln Journal star with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Parker, have a great holiday weekend. Thanks for giving us a few minutes today, man. Great to catch up.
Yeah, anytime, Schmitty. Have a good weekend, guys.
You too. Take care.
See you, buddy.
Parker Gabriel, Lincoln Journal star. Good stuff. We'll hit some more recruiting with Greg Smith coming up. Searles, floor is yours, brother, to talk O-line, to talk Bills, to talk Sue. That's coming up. It's Casa de Schmidt. We're at the patio out back, little weekend edition, getting you kicked off right with Hail Varsity.
And we're back.
Fellas, you think we could
Listen to the radio. Listen.
On Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Yes! That's awesome!
Thanks for your time. Great to be back with you. It's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. We are doing the patio edition on a Friday. Chris Schmidt, Jeremiah Searles, our favorite Buffalo Bill, is out back with us. Of course, his golf tournament donating and raising funds for pediatric cancer awareness. TysonsTreasureChest.org is where you log on and get signed up now to get a foursome in. And it's going to be the 20th of July at Woodland Hills. Searles and Spencer and your crew.
Qualley will be back. Stirrup will be back.
Stirrup. You guys can swing the clubs.
Well, I mean, we got a good swing. We don't have necessarily great follow-throughs. the old shoulder mobility doesn't necessarily allow us to follow through, but if we can get our hips behind it, man, it can go.
And your temperament is wonderful. We are flipping through the channels here out back on the patio, and we debated between Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives, Xena Warrior Princes, which is still solid 25 years later. We settled on the Super Bowl with the Buffalo Bills and New York Giants, the infamous Norwood game, a reminder to buckle up. Something's got to stop that motion. And airbags aren't always enough. Seatbelts prevent excessive injury when you or your vehicle need to slow down in a hurry. This applies to whether you're in the driver's seat, passenger seat, or back seat. Buckle up now. Click it or ticket, a message from the Nebraska Department of Highway Safety Office. Searles, let's get into it, man. Let's talk a little O-line. Mm-hmm. We were talking to Parker Gabriel and his chat with Farniok. What have you been hearing and noticing about this year's group? I know they're trying to find a center. Juergens is a beast, but
yep,
he's still learning. They're trying to replace a spot at left guard for Foster. And you have your two bookends that have played a lot of football and done well, frankly.
Right.
And I'm excited with Greg Austin because I think he's a tremendous coach and a really good talent and developer of talent. What's the word around you, offensive lineman, when you get together for off-season workouts or even a group text or whatever, man? Just kind of let us in and give us your take or the words that you're hearing on this group.
I think that one thing that stood out to me this offseason was, so I trained out there at the university during the offseason, myself, Spencer, Stirrup, and you could almost feel the confidence off of this group just being around them. Not as much in the past. I'm not saying anything bad about the past, but just it kind of seemed like more of a nonchalant group, kind of like it kind of just kind of go wherever, go with the wind, to where now you can feel it like they are a solidified group.
Focus is better.
Focus, but also I think it's like, okay, they know that the team goes, every team, I don't care if it's Little League, college, high school, NFL, it does not matter. The team goes as the offensive line and defensive lines go. Like, that is hands down. Coach McDermott tells us all the time, the identity of a football team is the physicality between the offensive line, the defensive line, and the coverage unit. Like, that is the first thing you look at. And I think that this team is developing that confidence, that good, healthy swagger of, we're going to be a smash-mouth, hard-nosed team, and you're going to get our best shot every Saturday. And it doesn't matter if we win or not, you're going to walk out of the stadium feeling like crap because we beat the crap out of you. And if that's where your starting point is, you can only go up from there. So that was the first thing that I noticed, just being around those group of guys, is you can really see that. And the second thing I noticed is the accountability factor from, like, policing within yourself. A lot of guys, I don't think the coaches really have to say much to anyone because guys are doing it, and that's huge. If you're late, someone's going to be on you. If you miss a rep, someone's going to be on you. And it's not going to be the coach. It's going to be a senior. It's going to be a peer. And it's so much easier to respect when your peer is getting down on you as a guy watching another. If you're watching your teammate get on someone else because of something, you're like, man, I want to be like that. I don't want to let my guy down. It's one thing to have that healthy fear of the coaches, have that healthy fear of, oh man, if I do this wrong, that coach is going to, but that can kind of create this tension and tightness of, like, playing too scared. To whereas if you know that you're going to, like, okay, I don't want to mess up because I don't want to let my buddy down next to me, you play a lot more free. You play a lot more like, man, I can just go out there and I know he's letting it loose. I know he's letting it loose to my right and to my left, and we can just go. And that's when you really see the good teams start to come out.
Tell me about your experience between being a guy that paid it forward to younger guys.
Yep.
and that dynamic between fear of coaches, position coach, head coach, and also fear of upperclassmen. You didn't want, because you played as a redshirt freshman. Mm-hmm. You were blocking Von Miller, redshirt freshman to junior, but you did well. I mean, you guys got hosed down at A&M. I'll leave it at that.
Yep.
So you lived it, and now you're seeing it in a different light that makes you smile. You're a pro football player for the Buffalo Bills, so of course it's professional, but it still comes from those team leaders within the NFL locker room.
Absolutely. And I think that finally what we have here in Nebraska is we're no longer the young unit as an O-line. I mean, the last few years it's been like, man, we got these young tackles. We got these two young tackles.
And
we
nobody
got,
really redshirted.
Right. And so, like, no one really had that developmental, whereas now it's you look at the offensive line and you go, okay, we got two solid tackles, which is where you got to start. Joe DeLisandres, my O-line coach, my rookie year with the Chargers, he goes, you can't win a championship without championship-level tackles. And it's 100% true, because guess what? Those werewolves coming off the edge are in the NFL and even in college. Like, they get paid a lot of money to get to the quarterback. Like, that's their one job. And if you can stop them from doing that, you give yourself a lot of success. So now that we have these two solidified offensive tackles that, in my opinion, if they continue to develop and continue to get better, have a shot to go play at the next level, you can build around them on the way inside. You got Bo Wilson. Okay, he's another guy. The big question mark, like we talked about earlier, is that centerpiece, because you got to have that brainchild in the middle of the offensive line that's going to get everyone lined up, get the slide the right way, get going the right way, and that's going to be really important. But I also think that the leadership part of it, I mean, like you said, I still get it in the NFL. You still see it from these guys like Lorenzo Alexander, who's played 15 years in the league. We got Frank Gore, who's played 15
Love
years in the
Frank
league.
Gore.
Dude, talk about a guy that just – he's 15 years in, and he's like, I like to run in the A-gap. It's like, I like that guy. Like, he just wants the rock.
Give it up the middle.
Up the middle. And you like, we replace a guy like Kyle Williams, which is almost irreplaceable. But you just – it trickles down, man. Like, when you have those type of leaders that want to pull the young guys, and it's not like, oh, man, this rookie's here to take my spot, which – in actuality, like, yeah, everyone's competing for a job. There's only so many spots to go around. But when you don't look at it as like, I'm not helping that guy because I want to get my own. But it's like, you know what? I'm going to do the best that I can, and I'm going to help that young guy do the best that he can, because if we both succeed and we both have success, that's a huge win. And there's a lot of that, I think, going on in Nebraska right now, is there's healthy competition, because competition breeds greatness. But at the same time, it's a helpful competition between everyone, and that's only going to take you to great places.
Jeremiah Searle, standout Husker, all Big Ten, all Big 12 performer. You weren't quite in the Big Ten, were you?
Yeah,
you were.
I did 2 years Big 12, 3 years Big Ten, man.
2 years.
I was the split child.
That's all right.
I made two Big 12 championships, one Big Ten championship, and lost all three of them.
We were close
in two of them. The other one we don't talk about.
No, we don't.
That was a sad day.
On that sad note, we will transition to a quick timeout. Great to be with you, sending you into your holiday weekend. Hail Varsity Radio. We are out back on the patio, a little Casa de Schmidt time. And we were here for a lot of the Real Red Reaction shows. We're enjoying the sunshine today. More football thoughts coming up. We wind down Hour 1 next on Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Good day with you. It's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, our favorite Buffalo Bill and standout Husker, Jeremiah Searles. Want to remind you about our friends at Austad's, 27th and Pine Lake in Lincoln. If you haven't done it, you got to do it, and that's get fitted for clubs, okay? You hear about it. It is a world of difference. Dusted off the clubs not long ago. Excited this weekend, weather permitting, to do it again. Went and saw Chris DeBusque at Austad's Golf, 27th and Pine Lake, and what an experience, to be honest with you. He got the video analysis going. He asked what I needed. I said, forgiveness. and I do. Searles, you've golfed with me. They put me in front of the video recorder. They took still pics with my swing. They helped me. They measured ball speed, club head speed, and carry distance. And they let me try all of them. And they recommended, this is what fits you. Hybrids are a better option than irons for you. Go. And I tried the Callaways, the Mizunos, the Pings, the TaylorMades, the Cobras, and also a new putter that fit well. A 3-hybrid, a 6-hybrid, a 7-hybrid, a putter is what I've got, and they've improved my second shot and my scoring on the green. They can help you and help your game. Make an appointment at your convenience and see Master Fitter Chris DeBusk today with Onsteads at 27th and Pine Lake. Log on and schedule your appointment today to get fit for clubs. It'll make a world of difference with your friends at Onsteads, onsteads.com. I'll be ready to rock, and I'll be playing at my best level.
Peak performance.
For your golf tournament, Searles, Tyson's Treasure Chest coming up here July 20th.
Yeah, so we got Tyson's Treasure Chest July 20th out at Woodland Hills, and we are so excited about it. Again, Lazari's Pizza's decided that they're going to sponsor with bringing all the food in again, which is so nice of them. And it's just one of my favorite events of the year, man. My Liz and Austin Chambers are just incredible people, and we got the chance to get with them a couple of years ago. Em and I are on the board now, and last year I think we raised almost $25,000 for pediatric brain cancer, and this year we're going for even more. Because the goal is to raise as much money as we can to help find a cure and just beat this disease, because it's so terrible. It's so sad. And every year we went to Team Jack again this year, and we got to sit with Liz and Austin, and it's just such a reminder of what's going on that I just am so happy to be a part of it. So again, we have our early bird sign up going on right now. I post a link. I'm going to post a link on my Twitter. There's one on my Instagram. You can go in, you can sign up, tysonstreasurechest.org. Come check it out. Early bird goes through now until I believe middle of June.
Okay.
And then after that, it goes up again. But teams are going to fill up fast. We sold out last year. We had full 36 teams last year, so it's going to sell out. But if you want to get your foursome in, man, get in, get signed up. It's a great event. Myself, Spencer Long, Brent Qualley, Zach Stura, Brandon Riley's got his team signed up. So we're going to have a lot of Huskers out there that are going to come and help support. And, again, it's just so much fun to go out, have a great day of golf. It's been beautiful for us the last few years. It does get a little hot, so make sure you stay hydrated. But we got plenty of beer for you out there. we'll take care of you there. Again, and Lazari's sponsoring. So, again, TysonsTreasureChest.org. Go sign up today. Get your foursome in. It's going to be an awesome time.
It is. And Searles, you're a big heart, dude, with helping raise money to fight pediatric cancer. And Tyson's Treasure Chest, 6 years and counting. It is absolutely fantastic what you're doing with your buddies from Nebraska and student athletes, man. You guys do such a great job.
Thank you.
The Pride of Fairbury is coming up. NBC Sports' Bill Dolman. He is down in Oklahoma City for Big 12 baseball. We'll get caught up with him. I'm sure he'll have an insult or two for Iowa. And Greg Smith, a recruiting hit. Danny Burke, Pride of Chicago, your gambling pick straight ahead next hour with Hail Varsity, Chris Schmidt, Jeremiah Searles.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmidt_radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmidt.
Into Hour 2, it's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, our favorite Buffalo Bill, and Husker standout is Jeremiah Searles. We are out back on the patio. I just, in record time, crushed my first piece of Lazari's cheeseburger pizza.
I've already had two of the Randy Rosses down.
You said if you eat any more, mother will hurt you.
Yeah, we're doing steaks with the father-in-law tonight, so I got to make sure I come home hungry.
Okay.
Which isn't a hard thing for me to do.
I'm going to take your word for it. I'm not going to get in there on someone 6'6", 6'7". I won't do that. We're going to head down to Oklahoma and get caught up with the Pride of Fairbury. NBC Sports' is Bill Dolman. He is locked in for Big 12 baseball this weekend. Billy D., I got to say thanks because you brought this idea to a reality. I don't know, 15, 16 years ago at the Average Joe Sports Show, you took the show on the road, my friend, to a listener's house out back on a gorgeous May afternoon. That's what we're doing today. How you been?
You know, I forgot about that, but that is a great idea. That was the ultimate in Average Joe Sports Show.
It was. It was awesome. Gorgeous weather, sitting out back. Someone else is cooking. Searles brought the pizza.
Absolutely. I
mean, how's your week been? I know you're in Oklahoma and getting ready for Big 12 baseball. Some weather's been down there. And you got a lot of talent down your neck of the woods with college baseball going on.
Well, fortunately, we've not had the weather come through while I've been here. They had some bad stuff before. They had some bad stuff north. They haven't had anything come through while I've been down here, but that's always a threat because it's Oklahoma. But this is that's about my, I don't know, sixth, seventh year of doing the Big 12 tournament, something like that. And, you know, it's always fun to be here. And then this is it's a great league. It's the number two RPI baseball conference in the country, the second to the SEC. I've had an opportunity to see some people who will be called very early when the draft rolls around here in a couple of weeks. Last night, a pitcher from West Virginia named Alec Manoa may get drafted in June and may be in the big leagues by September, and he's just that good. So there's a great quality of baseball being played down here, and they're very territorial about how good they are. Every now and then, the name Nebraska gets mentioned. We talked about the Huskers a little bit on the air last night. But it is somewhat surreal to be down here to do this every year and not have the Huskers be a part of the Big 12.
It's different, man. I'll tell you that. Nebraska making noise in Omaha today. Not only pounding Iowa, but run ruling Iowa. Mercy ruling Iowa.
Tap out.
And I know that doesn't make you sad when you have your headset off, Bill.
Well, you know, and keep in mind, it was the Huskers showed a lot of heart. It was a come from behind win, too.
Sure. Yeah. We're down 1-0.
Yeah. So, it just shows the heart of a Husker right there, you know? A
lot of grit.
Hey, Darren Erstad's still the head coach. Is that not correct?
It is.
Okay. I'm just checking, you know, because every now and then those guys with fake names on the internet start to stir up some trouble and causes some problems and makes us talk about things like that. But look, I think you've seen Nebraska baseball under Darren Erstad in a microcosm over the last 2-3 weeks, really since the month of May. And they've got a winning record. I know they're just like, what, 8-4, 9-5 or something like that in the month of May. They've turned it on in the last 2 weeks. You win a series against Michigan. You win against the series against Arizona State. You knock off Minnesota. You're one of, you know, Nebraska could very easily have been the number three seed, and I know they tied for third, and they end up being number five. That doesn't look good on paper. I'm down here for the Big 12 tournament. Oklahoma had a decent season, and for the most of the season was in the NCAA regional conversation. But they come to town, and they end up as the number seven seed behind Kansas and behind TCU. And I know when the NCAA committee looks at those seeds, they may not see every game that every team plays, but on paper in black and white, yeah, it doesn't look great that Nebraska is the number five seed. I'm sure it looked awful for Oklahoma, but they were the number seven seed, even though people have been talking about them. They go 2-2, and they're gone. Nebraska goes, okay, we're the number five seed. We could have been three. Let's just go out and win the thing. And I'm not sure, you know, Nebraska, what, they picked up their 30th win of the season, I think, today.
Yep.
Taking away Iowa statehood. So I would imagine, you know, a 30th win is probably, I still think it's an NCAA regional team, but I don't like the fact that on paper they were the five seed. That's on paper, that's not on the field. So what they're doing is proving how good they are on the field. Two wins in a row, inclement weather. They pounded out 15 hits today. I think they're good enough to be in, but I think they need to solidify things. It would probably be a really good thing for Nebraska to at least get to the final. I don't think they need to win the whole thing to get in, but I think they need one more win to get to the final, and I think that solidifies their spot.
I think they're in a good spot to get that final and to get to the final. I don't think they lose twice tomorrow against Iowa or Minnesota, the teams they've already beat. Bill Dolman's with us, NBC Sports. Pride of Fairbury, he's down in Oklahoma City ready for Big 12 baseball at Bricktown. He gets the airwaves tonight at 7. So, Bill, let's get to some Nebraska football. Dedrick Mills got qualified. He's a JUCO running back. He's just a monster talent. Did a great rookie year, freshman season, freshman of the year in the ACC. Played in that Paul Johnson wishbone and was the up back where he is all about being a quick hitter. So he got into school. That is good. Nebraska is being picked and being kind of saluted as a lot of experts. And we talk about Street and Smith and Athlon, two magazines I read as a kid that have Nebraska winning the West. Who's your biggest question mark for Nebraska in the West. And I know it's talking season. We're 100 now, 99 days away from college football, but I'm not counting. Who's the team that you think Nebraska's got to take down in the West? The answer is all of them, yes. But who's the one team that is kind of the linchpin, so to speak?
Well, I'm tired of us being competitive with Northwestern. I don't think we should be competitive with Iowa anymore. You know, those are the ones where we need to start separating ourselves from. You know, it's like I said back in the day of the when Nebraska was still in the Big 12. You know, they're falling into this mode of being competitive with Texas Tech and Missouri, and you know, trying to keep Kansas State at bay when you need to be up there. And annually, it's Texas, Oklahoma, Nebraska. And I think Nebraska needs to separate itself from those middle-of-the-pack teams, which they've not done. And, you know, obviously losing Northwestern the way we did a year ago, I mean, that's going to stick in the craw. The way you lose to Iowa last year, that's going to stick with you a little bit. But I think Nebraska, in year two of the Scott Frost era, is ready to move away from those teams already. I think this is going to be a team that's going to make a huge leap from year one to year two. I think you're going to see Ohio State with Ryan Day probably start to move back to the pack. We don't know what we're going to get with Michigan for the most part. And I know those are teams in the other division, but I'm saying Nebraska needs to not be talking about, you know, who are we going to beat in the West. It's just going to be Nebraska has to be in that conversation with the best teams in the Big Ten as the front runners. And I don't think we're necessarily there yet, but it's not going to be that long before it's going to be, well, the Big Ten, of course, Nebraska, Michigan, and Ohio State. That's the way it needs to be. And Penn State, I get it.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of expectations on this team coming into the 2019 season, none of which bigger than on second-year quarterback Adrian Martinez. What do you see from expectation level, him jumping, making that jump to that sophomore season, or do you think he might be one of those guys falls into that sophomore slump that everyone kind of worries about? But, like, expectation-wise, it's never been higher for a guy like that. What do you want to see out of him going into this season?
You know, I want to see him play with a comfortably. And that's really kind of an odd thing to say, but because I'm sure he's going to have some pressure on him given all the stuff that's being heaped upon him. I mean, I'm not a big proponent of the Heisman Trophy at all anymore. I think it is so way overplayed. And to be throwing that talk around at this time of year, the thing about Adrian Martinez, and I'm not around him at all, but from afar, he does seem to have the whole thing in a pretty good perspective. He's got a coach that's got things in pretty good perspective, and Scott Frost is going to put him in a situation to where his talents are going to be utilized and maximized to the best of his ability. But I also think with a guy like Mills, I think if the offensive line gets improved, you got to find somebody to replace Stanley Morgan. I think Scott understands it's not all on Adrian. And I think that he needs to impart that to Adrian, that it's not all on you. This is not necessarily your team. Yes, you are the quarterback, but I've got things handled for you. I'm going to put you in situations where you're going to succeed. I think Nebraska is in a better place than Central Florida it was in with the quarterback whose name all of a sudden escapes me. And I'm sorry, the
Melton.
But I think that Nebraska has more weapons to utilize and to maximize that will make it a much more comfortable season for Adrian Martinez, that he can realize, you know what, I don't have to do it every single play. And we saw last year that there were times when he would make a bad pitch, make a bad throw, and you wonder how he would react as a freshman. And for the most part, I think he did. But I don't think he has to press this year. So I want him to be comfortable. I want him to be comfortable in that role. I want him to be comfortable in the fact that there's a quality backup behind him. I think Noah Vedral coming back and getting the eligibility, you know, he had the last year. I think that's incredibly important. I think the kid McCaffrey coming in from Denver and my neighborhood, I think it's important that Nebraska has somebody that is serviceable as a backup quarterback. And all of that's going to give some comfort to Adrian Martinez that he doesn't have to be the guy.
Bill Dolman's with us, Pride of Fairbury, NBC Sports, Hail Varsity Radio, getting ready for Big 12 baseball tonight as the call. So, Bill, I want to go back to the last championship, and this kind of spurred me while I was waiting for the Nebraska game today to get rolling at 11:30 on BTN. They did a documentary on the 97 Nebraska National Championship team, and always get into those, and I always enjoy seeing your picture in the locker room next to Coach Osborne after Nebraska handed it to Tennessee. I was in my third sophomore year at Nebraska, so we went down as a family, and it was an amazing time with the face paint on, watching Nebraska do their thing against Tennessee. You were there for that season. You know how 96 went. You were there for 97. How did Coach Osborne groom Coach Frost to accept that challenge and moment with the expectations?
Well, first of all, Tom never changed. You know, Tom and Tom didn't come out and say, like, okay, well, this is how it's got to be, and Scott's our guy, and we will live and die with Scott Frost. Tom never said that about anybody. You know, he may have had praise like, well, he's one of the best we've ever had, and I'm just mean that in a general comment, and that would be effusive praise from Tom Osborne. But Tom was so steady, high and low, and I think everybody, when they came into the program, eventually understood. They may not know it right away, but they understood that anything that you were going to get was going to be earned, and nothing was going to be given to you, no matter how many stars you had been given prior to the time you arrived in Nebraska. I don't think Tom put a lot of stock in four-star, three-star, five-star type stuff. Obviously, you want to get the best players you possibly can, but anybody who came to Nebraska was going to get an even shot. And once that was ingrained and understood, that everything that you did there had to be earned and everything that you were given had to be earned, I think Scott and everybody else, be it Grant Wistrom or Christian Peter or Tony Veland or Mike Mentor, whoever it was, understood that I'm a part of something really big here. So my coach is consistent. He's consistent in the way he conducts his business. He's consistent in the way he coaches this team. He's consistent in the way that he gives everybody a shot every day. And so for Scott, he knew that when he went to practice on Monday, watched film on Sunday, that everything was going to be the same and he had to put forth the same effort or the job was going to be taken away from him. And over time, you come to understand, like, I'm just one of the guys. And I just need to be better than the next guy if I'm going to get a play. And I think that that mentality and that atmosphere consistency is what has led Scott Frost to where he is today. And I'm sure that's what he imparts on the players. Whoever comes to play for Scott Frost, we want you here. We believe in you. We love you. And we think you're going to be great for us. But you got to earn what we're going to give you. And I think that was really important. So there was never any extra pressure put on Scott. Like, you're the guy. You got to be the guy. You got to do it for us. That was never the case with anybody.
Bill Dolman, Pride of Fairbury, NBC Sports, with us, Hail Varsity Radio. It's a Patio Friday. Jeremiah Searles, Chris Schmidt, a tribute to the Average Joe Sports Show many moons ago on a Friday out back on a patio in South Lincoln. Billy D, have an amazing weekend. Have a great call tonight. Thanks for jumping on with us today, bud.
It's always great to visit with you, and I understand Jeremiah's with Buffalo. Is that correct?
Yes, yes.
They have buffalo wings there.
Yes, they do. Incredible buffalo wings.
just wanted to throw that tip out there, just in case you haven't heard.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate that.
Bill, be good, buddy. Thanks so much.
Go Big Red.
Gerber. That is the Pride of Fairbury, Bill Dolman on Hail Varsity Radio. He always ends it with, go Big Red.
Go Big Red.
Love it. Recruiting hit coming up with Greg Smith. The Pride of Chicago is Danny Burke. We got a lot of prides of .. Our favorite Buffalo Bills, Jeremiah Searles. We're watching NFL Network here, Cleveland Browns. Want to tell you about a company that can help you move and sell that house, West Blue Realty. Amazing folks, and I'm talking about Tom Luby and Kelly Hoffschneider. If 2019 is the year you decide to make the move, West Blue Realty can help. They specialize in residential homes in Lincoln and surrounding communities. They can get that sold for you, and it's going to be painless. Limited time offer. You mentioned Hail Varsity. West Blue Realty will provide up to $1,000 off the closing of your next home purchase. Tom Luby's number, 402-540-3768. Kelly Hoffschneider, 402-202-2312. Can log on westbluerealty.com.
Chime in, 402-466-ESPN, or email the show, Chris at HaleVarsity.com.
Just try me.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Good stuff from Bill Dolman, Chris Schmidt, and our favorite Buffalo Bill is Jeremiah Searles. Hail Varsity Radio, It's Patio Friday, so we're out back. We were going to throw something on the grill, but the boys from Lazari's hooked it up, a half and half, a Randy Ross, and a cheeseburger.
Mm.
And it's so good. It is so tremendous. Weekend edition tomorrow morning is a best of. I am off to Kansas City with Junior to see the Yankees lose, if I have anything to say about it. Right now, we are going to see how Greg Smith is doing. We know he's going to kill it when it comes to recruiting and recruiting recon with HailVarsity.com. But we have to do a Laker update every week. And Gregers, thanks for jumping on with us. What did you think of the Magic show this week?
Oh, boy. I'm not sure if his plan here is to help the Lakers sign a big-time free agent. I'm not sure he advanced the cause. I still don't have – how many days has it been since that happened? I still don't have words for that.
Like Monday or Tuesday show happened.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes. Maybe Kyrie will bail us out here.
That'd be nice.
I don't know. I don't know about Kyrie. I'd go after who? I'm a Klay Thompson guy.
I like Klay too, but dude, I think the LeBron Kyrie dynamic would be cool to see again, though.
But Kyrie's the same guy who thought he didn't need LeBron.
But now he came out and he apologized. Yeah. He's back. I don't know. I would like to see.
Greg, there won't be any code red or anything for that, will there?
No. But I think that it's still like if he doesn't want to go back with LeBron, why would he want to go with KD in New York? Like, I think you go back with the safe choice, the guy you won a championship with already.
Right.
Greg, give us some recruiting recon, bud. What's the weekend look like? Who's coming to town? And what are some priorities here the end of May and first part of June for Nebraska and Coach Frost?
Yeah, so Nebraska actually has kind of a busy weekend here coming up. I'll start with a future class, the class of 2021. The number one player out of Oklahoma for the class of 21, Ethan Downs, will be in town. He plays tight end and defensive end in high school, and Nebraska's recruiting him as kind of that hybrid outside linebacker / defensive end. It's actually the second time he's been to campus. He was here last summer for Friday Night Lights camp, and he's pretty high on the staff. He's kind of getting recruited by everyone on the staff right now, so building the relationship all over the place within the staff, which is good. It's good to get him back on campus. Then Nebraska will also have a group from Iowa Western Community College just across the river coming in, kind of headlined by Perrion Winfrey, the defensive tackle who Nebraska has been in on for a while. I think they offered him right after Tony Tuioti took over the defensive line coach position, and since then he's done nothing but continue to accumulate offers. I think recently he's got Florida State and Alabama, among others, that have come in on him. So Nebraska really trying to rekindle that Iowa Western connection going forward as well.
You know, Iowa Western's such a big part of what's going on in JUCO football, and they've been such a talented squad under Coach Strohmeyer, and it's so close. And you have Nebraska with a couple of guys that are right there with Winfrey and Gamble, of course.
Yep.
Let's talk offensive tackles. And Greg, where's Nebraska at? What are they doing offensive tackle-wise? I know they've got kids in the boat now for the near future, but depth-wise, I mean, they're looking at some JUCO OTs, aren't they?
Yeah, there's a couple of junior college offensive tackles that got offers recently. You mentioned Jacob Gamble, who will be here this weekend from IWCC. And then also Killian Zierer, who's a really interesting kid, a German kid that's only been watching football for 4 years. 4 years ago was the first time he watched his first football game and playing the sport for 3 years. But he's out at College of the Canyons, JUCO out in California. And he continues to be one of the hottest names in junior college recruiting, regardless of position. But I think at this point, the offensive tackles for JUCO, I think, are guys that they're kind of keeping tabs on and making sure that they have started to build up that relationship just in case things don't work out with their high school prospects they have for the 2020 class. Still expecting to take a couple tackles in this class. Obviously, they have Turner Corcoran already in the boat, but still after a couple of other really nice targets. And we'll also have to see, I think, how the guys that get to campus here this summer over the next month really look once they get here to see just how far away they are from playing as well, and if you need to get a junior college tackle to come in and play right away.
How big was Mills? I mean, I think it's enormous, but your level of stress for it was what?
I was pretty stressed out about that, and I imagine that the coaching staff was as well, Brian Held especially, because having Dedrick Mills in the fold and having him in the clear, and now on campus, he's already here participating in summer workouts, means a great deal to the outlook of this running game for this upcoming season. Like, he's a guy that they're going to count on heavily to be able to play, regardless of what happens. With Maurice Washington, Dedrick Mills is going to have to play quite a bit. And now that he is here and going to be ready to go, the trickle-down effect of that is pretty big, too, because now you can bring along Ramir Johnson a little bit slower. You don't have to force him into action, but he can still play. And then I still expect Ronald Tompkins to come in and be able to get a red shirt and get that knee completely healthy. But I can't imagine that, you know, he's anywhere near being able to ready to play in the Big Ten at this point, coming off of that knee injury at the beginning of last season. So we'll see about that. But it's a huge deal to have Mills in the fold and ready to roll.
Tell me about Cody Simon, kid out of Jersey, Notre Dame, Penn State, Nebraska, four-star defensive prospect. What's the lowdown on him?
Yeah, so it looks like Cody Simon, who was out here for a junior day earlier, I think the one in February, if I'm not mistaken. He was here for that, and he'll be back out for an official visit the weekend of June 7th. And I think it'll be his first official visit. So Nebraska will try to get out in front of Penn State and Notre Dame. And I think he has a brother that plays at Notre Dame right now, but I'm not sure at this point that the feeling is that he's a lock by any stretch to Notre Dame. They're doing pretty well in recruiting, and also he's trying to look around a little bit. I think Nebraska has a good shot here, especially if they're getting the first official visit and have the opportunity to set the bar for him. But he's a really talented kid out of a powerhouse program out in New Jersey.
How's Nebraska going to use their officials this summer? They've got 11. They had like none a year ago. I know that Nebraska has been fantastic with getting kids here for unofficials, but what's the process here for the rest of 2020 and beyond?
Yeah, Nebraska's going to have to make some decisions, I think, on how they kind of proceed with these official visits. Like you mentioned, they have 11 official visits to use for 2020 prospects this summer. But also keep in mind that some of those kids, it's not just the high school kids, but it's also the junior college kids that maybe you want to bring in early, because it's difficult to get junior college kids into Lincoln for during the season or anywhere during the season because their schedules are so tight. Most JUCOs play their games on Saturday. You also, just in case, you know, you have another graduate transfer that comes available, you want to be able to use an official visit there as well. And you have a bunch of high school prospects and high priority guys that have stated that they would like to take summer official visits so that they can get their decision out of the way before their senior season. So there is going to be a juggling act. And I'm glad I'm not the one that has to figure that out. But my understanding is they have a pretty good handle on what's happening there. And I think that you'll see a combination of using some of those officials during the season. If they have some left over, they can roll over five as well. And then you'll see a big group come out for that first game of the season as well.
Greg Smith, recruiting analyst with us, HailVarsity.com and magazine. Follow Greg on Twitter at GregSmithHV is where you follow him. And Greg, I know we're getting close to yearbook time with Hail Varsity. I broke Vogel's concentration yesterday from the bunker, and you know, he's getting the team previews ready. I know you're going to have some awesome stuff, and Babbers will be rocking, and Jacob and Derek and Aaron Sorensen, so I'm excited about it. Give me a little preview, my man, of what you're excited about with the yearbook. I know you've been working hard with it.
Yeah, there are some great stories. I feel like I say this every year, but there are some great stories coming in the yearbook this year that we took a lot of time and care to present. I have a story about shocker, Nebraska recruiting, and about how it comes together that a kid even gets on the board, how you kind of go through that process of recruiting a kid, but then also if you were a new coach, say Tony Tuioti told through his eyes, what it's like to be able to get a kid that you had been recruiting onto the board, and kind of take you inside of kind of those staff meetings and how what that process is like. So I'm really excited for you guys to be able to check that out.
That is so good. I can't wait. It's interesting, right? Because kids leave, coaches leave, and what's that high wire act of a kid that you've really connected with and you've been talking to, let's just say, for example, about Cal,
right,
trying to get him to Nebraska. And if he's good enough to play for Wilcox, you sure as hell want to take him at Nebraska. Greg, a last thought here, and we got to talk food. What is on the Greg Smith menu this weekend, assuming the rain doesn't revisit? It's gorgeous right now. I think you're probably staring out at your grill right now. What's for dinner?
I am actually staring at the grill. You know me well and how I do these interviews. But we will have chicken legs. Chicken legs will be kind of going on the grill. And then my backup plan is to just go out there quickly with some hot dogs this weekend and an umbrella should it come to that.
Okay. You got to get over here, Searles, when you're back from camp.
Yes.
We got to do spare ribs, beef ribs.
Yes. I still have a full pork shoulder from a pig that I shot like 2 years ago.
You shot that with Tommy
and Tommy and Foltzy and them. So I guess longer, probably about 4 years ago. So I got a full pig shoulder I got to throw on this Traeger that I'm staring at right here.
I'll do it. Greg, you want to come over for it?
Yeah, somebody send the memo out to me. I'll be there.
Good enough. Greg, have a great weekend. Thanks for your time, bud.
Hey, thanks as always. Enjoy the weekend, guys.
There he is, Greg Smith, recruiting analyst, HaleVarsity.com at Magazine. We are about 4 minutes away from heading to Vegas. Danny Burke, the Pride of Chicago, will have some baseball trends for your entertainment purposes only. Get his thoughts on the upcoming Eastern Conference, Game 6 with the Bucks and the Raptors. And yes, we'll even dive into a little bit of NHL for Monday with the Blues. And right now, Colton Stone is swearing in his mind. His inner dialogue is going with his Sharks sitting this one out. Sharks next year, Colton, is what I'm going to tell you, as you probably cut my mic off. But Searles, real quick, we got about a minute here, but real quick, what you're doing to connect fans with pro athletes, about 30 seconds.
Yeah, so I have partnered with this company, Wombo Sports. We are an esports gaming company, and we work through Twitch, and myself, David Morgan, Harrison Smith, Anthony Barr, other big names like Ray Lewis, we're trying to work with getting Terrell Owens, our streaming video games live on the Twitch platform, which allows other people to come and interact with us, watch us interact with each other, play with us when chance to play with us. It's a great time.
All right, that'll be good. Danny Burke is next. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And now. And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. A lot of action this weekend in the sporting world. Let's head out to the desert and say hi to the Pride of Chicago. It is Danny Burke. Danny, what's going on, man? How's the desert? How's Vegas this holiday weekend, bud? Good to talk to you.
It's good, man. It is good. And I'm going to sound kind of snobby saying this. I know you guys have had pretty bad weather, but we have too, except it's been about mid-60s to 70. So I can't complain too much, but from Vegas standards, that's pretty chilly, but I know you guys have been suffering a little bit too.
Rain has sucked, okay? It's just been bad. They got held back, obviously, from Thursday night. Danny Burke, of course, at Danny Burke Fives, where you follow him on Twitter, and he's working with Brent Musburger's group out in Vegas. Also, Sports X Radio is where you can hear Danny. Danny, we love getting Burke's best bets from you, my friend, every Friday. Start off with some Major League Baseball trends you want to tell the peeps about.
Yes, sir. So I have two picks today. This week has been pretty even for the most part, about 5-3. So hopefully we can pick that up for today and ongoing for the rest of the weekend. So yeah, two picks today. I will start. You spoke of trends. So one of the team that is the hottest right now is the Minnesota Twins. And I've been riding them lately. And I think I might have mentioned it last week on the show too. It just doesn't seem like bookmakers have really picked up on them, especially when they have their top pitchers going. And you know, I'm breaking my golden rule right here today because I always say never to bet for or against the White Sox. It's a curse I have. It's uncanny that no matter what I do, I lose. On SportsX Radio, on the show, we kind of give out our picks, and every time I've done it, I always do a forewarning with that. And the last time it happened, I actually battled back and won when I said they were going to win. So I don't know if it's broken, you know, knock on wood, maybe something great happened. But regardless, I'm betting the Twins today against the White Sox. I got the Twins on the run line at -115. And we got Barrios on the mound versus Ronaldo Lopez for the White Sox. Some numbers here. Obviously, the Twins, like I said, they're red hot. They're coming off a sweep of the Angels. Minnesota is number one with their OPS at night with 868. Number three OPS versus righties, 828. In the last 7 days, the Twins are fourth in OPS overall with an OPS of 910. So that's pretty great. And in their last six wins, actually, they have covered the run line every single time. So that boasts my confidence there. And then on the other side, the White Sox, they're, of course, traveling from Houston. They're coming off a win. Actually won 4-0. They had their ace on the mound, so it's a little surprising, but good for them. That's baseball. You know, sometimes you get those random wins, but they are ranked 19th in OPS on the road, 18th ranked OPS against righties, and then the last 7 days, the Sox are 27th ranked in OPS with an OPS of 615, and they have not covered the red line in the last five losses they had. So if the Twins come out on top, I'm sure they will cover that run line. The Sox are also 16-22 on the run line with no rest, and 9-12 on the run line after a win. Like I said, they just beat Houston. And then Reynaldo Lopez for the White Sox, he has lost every away outing this season. He's got a 1.50 whip and a 5.14 ERA. And then Barrios on the other side, he's 6-2 with 3.39 ERA and a whip of 1.13. So I really like the Twins here. They are rolling, and I hope to roll with them tonight on the run line. And then on the other side, speaking of Houston, I do like Houston tonight. Last I saw, they were a home underdog, which is a little surprising. I guess if you look at it, it's maybe not that shocking because they're going up against the defending champions, Red Sox and Chris Sale. However, Chris Sale has really struggled this year. And this team did face this exact matchup with Sale and Wade Miley for the Astros last week. And the Red Sox got the job done. Sale got one of his only wins. They got the win 4-3. He had three earned runs, four hits, and only 5.1 innings pitched and five walks. And Miley, on the other end, he also pitched five innings, seven hits, two earned runs, and no walks. But the Red Sox, as an away favorite, are under 500 this year, 11-12. They are coming from Toronto all the way to Houston after winning 8-2. And they did lose that series at home to Houston last week. They only got the one win, and that was when Sale was pitching. So Sale only has a 4.31 ERA this season. And his only other wins, mind you, besides that Boston win, were against Baltimore and the White Sox. And obviously those teams are pretty horrendous this season. So there's still not a lot of confidence in the Southpaw. And then Miley, on the other hand, he has a whip of 1.17 and a 3.51 ERA. And here's the kicker. He has won every single game at home. So that really boosts my confidence there. Houston, they have the number one OPS versus the lefties in the league, number one OPS at home, and number two OPS for night games. Boston, on the other hand, is number 12 OPS versus lefties and number 11 OPS on the road. So my picks, Houston plus 110, money line, Twins minus 1.5 on the run line, minus above 15. So hopefully we could get a good sweep.
That is Danny Burke, the Pride of Chicago, out in Las Vegas, Hail Varsity Radio. Danny, let's switch gears. What are you leaning towards Saturday, Game 6, Toronto and Milwaukee? Could the Raptors go 4 in a row here?
I honestly think they could. I mean, everyone was saying they couldn't do 3 in a row because it hasn't happened to the Bucks all season. I, for one, like I said, if I do my official plays if I tweet them out, but I also kind of just do the ones behind the scenes that I don't necessarily have as much confidence in, or if they're in another sport, being basketball. So yesterday, I actually was riding the over 215 and the Raptors plus 7.5. Luckily, I live bet over 200.5, and that kind of hedged the over 215. But then the Raptors plus 7.5, I mean, that was easy. I mean, I didn't have to worry about that really at all the whole game. And this Raptors team is just great. They have the answer for Giannis, and it's as simple as that. They're just playing phenomenal defense. And then on the other end, the Bucks just did not look prepared. I mean, Van Vliet and Lowry were coming out shooting, and of course Kawhi was doing his thing with the claw. So this Raptors team is the real deal. Let's not look ahead like we were already saying the Bucks and Warriors were going to go at it, because obviously right now we're not so sure that the Bucks are the better team. The Raptors have a deep lineup too, so it'll be interesting to see how this one plays out. The line is set at 2 in favor of the home team, and I like the Canadians. I like them winning and covering that 2-point spread. Over-under, I probably won't touch it at 213, but I'm all in on Toronto at this point.
Man, that would be something, the way Milwaukee started this series off, and Kawhi's been the difference, and Giannis has been big time as well, but too much help for Kawhi. Daddy, I know you're a big hockey guy. You're a proud Chicagoan and the Blackhawks, so put your bias aside between the city of St. Louis and Chicago for a moment and indulge me here with the Bruins and Blues.
All right. Well, I believe I said it on the show. I'm sure I did. I actually thought the Sharks were going to win that series, so I can only help but feel for Colton. I know he must be struggling too, being a big Sharks fan, but, you know, they did catch pretty much every single break heading into this Blue Series, and
yeah.
I'm considering some in the Blue Series with that hand pass. And then instead of whining and bitching about it, the Blues came back and won the series. That's how you stick it to the man right there. So good for the Blues, I will say. I did point out, though, obviously Chicago and St. Louis, I can't root for the Blues. I just can't do it. But putting bias aside, Blues are a hot team coming in, but Boston's a little bit hotter. But it's, you know, rest for the Bruins right now, and it's a rest versus rust type of deal. And I don't know if that's going to affect them that much, because it's weird with hockey and basketball are kind of the main
right.
sports where that plays a big deal. So I don't know how you don't think the Bruins right now are not going to win. You know, I like them. I think the series price is, you can get it. It's like the cheapest is probably minus $1.50. I think that might be the price for game one as well. What I will do, though, I will wait to see what happens after game one, maybe game two. And if there's a little bit of value on the Bruins, then I'll probably throw on them. But for now, I'm just going to wait and see how that first game plays out. But I think it's going to go deep. It'll be a great series, probably six or seven games. I think it'll be low scoring the first couple as Boston gets back on their feet, or should I say skates. But, yeah, I think it's going to be a great series. I think Boston comes out on top, and, you know, I'll give it six games. So Boston in six, but we'll see what happens after those first couple games to see if I'm actually going to wager on them.
Pride of Chicago, Danny Burke at DannyBurke5 on Twitter. Danny, we'll get caught up next week. Thanks for the time.
Absolutely. Sounds good, my man. Thanks for having me.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at HailVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
One final time out here on the patio. Patio Fridays here with Hail Varsity Radio. Jeremiah Searles, Chris Schmidt Jr. is out here. Trying to score one-on-one with Searles.
I might have to dunk on him before we leave.
I think that'd be outstanding for you to go Shaq Fu on him.
Oh, yeah. Maybe clear out with the elbow. We'll
no more.
See.
Don't bounce, please. And so he'll just go, dunk.
Just down it goes.
Searles, what's on the horizon for you with Buffalo, bud? I know you got a quick breather back to see Mama, and then you're headed back for more camp and getting ready for summer workouts. What's your take on that before we say goodbye? And thanks again for coming out.
Absolutely.
It's good to hang out and do the show with you. Big thanks to Colton Stone and Elijah back at the studios making this happen as we're on location again today. And then a thought here on two-year-old teammates, Sue and Levante, hooking up in Tampa.
Yeah, so we got 3 weeks left of the offseason program, as do most teams in the NFL. We got two more weeks of OTAs, phase three, which is three practices next week, four practices the following. And then everyone has the mandatory mini camp. So really just three more weeks of grinding it out, kind of getting the foundation blocks put together. It's essentially the NFL's version of spring ball. We have that. And then get about 5 weeks off before you report for training camp, and I'll see you guys in January or February, whatever it is after that. But Sue signing down for down in Levanteville, down there in Tampa Bay, as I would call it. He's kind of really settled. I mean, I think he was a little bit more than perturbed as they let go of McCoy, as you saw on Twitter. He was a little upset, but I'm sure he's not going to be too upset with the drop-off to necessarily or upgrade, which is Sue. Granted, Sue signed another $9 million deal, so congratulations to him.
We got engaged this weekend,
He did
too.
Get engaged to Katya, who I've known since she was my class. She was a basketball player for my class, so I've known her since our first summer, so congratulations, though, too. That's awesome for him.
Oh, wow.
But I also noticed that he signed with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers as he was in France, so good for him.
He was crushing South France in wine country.
Yeah, and then he was like, you want me to play the Bucs? Yeah, sure, we'll do that. So I wonder if he faxed it over from somewhere in France, faxed over the contract.
You've played against McCoy.
Yep.
You played against Sue.
Yep.
I mean,
they're very different players, believe it or not. Like, they're both incredibly gifted players, incredibly talented players. But as far as, like, their techniques and the way that they play, very different. McCoy's what I call a sled warrior. He's just going to come off the ball and try and shoot the gap as fast as he can, and he's incredibly strong. To where Sue is also incredibly strong, but he's also very much quick twitch, side to side. But again, both incredible players. Got to play against both of them. Very evenly matched. So I think that I think I saw Gerald McCoy might be heading to Cleveland,
wow.
I mean, that D line would be pretty scary when you start thinking about who could be on that defensive line for Cleveland. Myles Garrett, Gerald McCoy. I think they have Oliver from the Giants. He went over there. I mean, the Browns are starting to look more and more like the favorite in the AFC North there.
And I'd never – I mean, they're putting together finally. They're spending it. They've drafted well. They've been fortunate. They've been drafting in the top three every year forever.
I think every year since I've been alive.
Right. But they're – I mean, they've kind of hit it out of the park, and they were good enough to win more than just seven last year. Searles, safe travels back to Buffalo. Say hi to the lovely at home.
Absolutely.
Big thanks to our boys at Lazari's for the food. Wonderful. Very tasty. And we will have a best of tomorrow morning, getting you ready for Nebraska baseball at 9 as they get ready to head to the championship game Sunday. Colton Stone and Elijah, thanks for your time back at ESPN Lincoln. Podcast on ESPN Lincoln. And, of course, iTunes and HaleVarsity.com. We'll talk to you Tuesday.